Okay. So I'm here to talk about the program that the Black Women's Health Imperative, which is a national organization based in Washington, D.C., conducted under the Together on Diabetes Initiative. And our program was the HealthWise Woman Diabetes Self-Management Project. And just to give you a little bit of information about, well, of course, the standard conflict of interest statement, to give you a little bit of information about who we are as a national organization, we're the only national organization that is focused on achieving optimal wellness and health for Black women and girls, and we focus on physical, emotional, and financial wellness. And we do this by making investments in organizations and strategic partnerships in key cities across the country. We focus our efforts in those cities where there are high populations of Black women, but also where there is a high prevalence of many of the preventable health conditions, as well as those that have been identified as having high disparities for Black women. So we target our efforts very strategically in areas where we feel we can make an impact. And so with the Diabetes Self-Management Project, we did a lot of work at the very beginning of this initiative to make sure we were able to develop a program for Black women in Washington, D.C. that really met the needs that they were having in not only preventing certain chronic conditions, but managing those conditions once they had them. And so we spent quite a bit of time at the very beginning doing an extensive environmental scan and community assessment process to identify what resources and programs were already available in the city, as well as where there were gaps and areas where we could make a difference. And so we designed this as a community-driven initiative that promoted lifestyle change as a means to improve health outcomes and reduce the complications of diabetes. We found through our work that there were several clinically based programs, but we felt that the community-driven approach would be best for us as far as the way we do our work and could help fill those gaps where the community needed those services and programs that specifically met their needs that weren't set in a clinic. And so the goals of this were to enhance community clinical and social support networks that were in the D.C. area that were designed to address diabetes care and management, to increase health literacy, self-efficacy, and skills development in diabetes education and self-management. Our goal was to reach 150 Black women age 40 and over that were living with diabetes. And then also to help build up the community capacity in the D.C. area around organizations that could support and sustain the work once the project ended. And we did this by building a trained group of community health educators and self-help facilitators, which I'll talk about in a moment, as the support base and as what could be left behind once the project ended to continue the work. So when our project began, we had done, again, quite a bit of research and found that in D.C., African Americans ranked 13th in the nation for uncontrolled diabetes. 7.5% of adults had been diagnosed with diabetes at the time we began this initiative. And there was a diabetes mortality rate among Black women of 122.7 per 100,000. So that's a rate that's five times the rate of white women in the city. So, of course, this was something we felt we needed to address. We also did quite a bit of focus group work and assessment work through surveys and other tools where we were able to gather qualitative as well as quantitative information. And we found that in talking with women ages 35 to 55, there were several barriers that were identified as far as why they felt they could not better manage their diabetes, and one of those was that they were caregivers, caretakers for their families, communities, churches. There's so many that they were taking care of instead of taking care of themselves, and that was a major barrier that we continued to overcome or try to overcome with our initiative. In the planning and design of this, we looked at a wide range of needs of the women that we were working with as well as the organizations, and these include values, characteristics of the communities in which we were working, community organizational structure that was a major issue. We really needed to know what was happening within the organizations that we were partnering with in order to make sure we could have the most effective partnerships. Culture, and then the expectations of our participants. We had to find out what was realistic for the women that were going to be coming into our program. So again, we did quite a bit of work around evaluating and assessing what impact we could have based on what information we gathered from this environmental scan process that took about 10 to 12 months in the very beginning of our project. And then our approach to addressing the issue, we felt through the assessment, through including the stakeholders, through including the organizations, was really built on what was happening within the communities. We had to work with the local power, the local structure, the local resources that were available and build upon those and work in true partnership with those in order to be able to make some differences. So in order to adopt the Lifestyle Change Initiative as a strategy, we really wanted to work with organizations that had that connection with women, where they felt connected, where they already went as a resource, they were familiar with these organizations. So we had a total of five core partners that we worked with. The Empowerment Center, which was in the northeast section of DC. This is a center that has a faith-based focus, but they also work with women and families around health education as well as engaging them in physical activity. So this was a natural for us. They have a wide client population that fit within the target population we were working with and were able to reach approximately 12 different other organizations to bring into this process. In Street Village is in northwest DC. They are a resident program for women who are transitioning from homelessness to permanency. And they have a legal program, they have job search programs, they have a 133-bed facility where they bring women in and they're able to stay there for as long as they need to stay. It's not one of those programs where after 18 months they're needing to find other places or transition out. So we were really wanting to work with vulnerable populations as well. So the In Street Village provided a good venue for us to do that. Covenant Baptist Church is one of the larger Baptist churches in the D.C. area. That was another one of our partners. We partnered with a yoga studio, Anacostia Yogi, in southeast D.C. And then we also branched out of the D.C. area into Prince George's County and worked with Still I Rise, which is another women empowerment program that works on health education as well as enhanced physical activity. So with these five organizations as our core partners, they were able to reach out to and engage a total of 27 other organizations. So it kind of had that ripple effect as far as reaching out and bringing in other women and other groups to participate in this. So as I mentioned, we engaged in an extensive assessment process. Our qualitative and quantitative assessment process took about 6 months with the focus groups, with surveys, key informant interviews, and then we took another 6 months to really analyze and synthesize the data so that we could use that to better inform the design of our program. So in total, it was about a 12-month process. We utilized a site-based approach to ensure that we had community support and engagement. And again, these were organizations where we knew there were connections with the women we wanted to reach, and they felt comfortable going to these locations. We based our partner selection on organizations, again, that were familiar and where women felt connected, and also those where we had an alignment with their vision and their mission and their way of doing things. So we were all like-minded in our efforts to address the needs of Black women and to support the empowerment approach that we used. We had five key steps in our intervention strategy: the diabetes self-management education portion, support for managing diabetes and distress, and that's through our self-help initiative, enhancing access and linkage to care, community organizing and mobilization, and then all of that resulting in what we hoped would be community transformation. With the intervention process, we used the chronic disease self-management model of building the capacity of partners. That's part of that investment strategy that the imperative engages in. We really want to work in partnership with organizations to build on their strengths so, again, they can carry on the work after we step out of the process. So building capacity of our partners, training culturally competent HealthWise Women facilitators, training partner staff in the collection of data. That's part of that capacity building process. Delivering a culturally and gender-specific intervention that integrates health education, physical activity, and social support, and using peer leaders to deliver the health education. And in this case, we did it in a group setting, and it was using our self-management approach that had been adapted from the evidence-based models, but also integrating that into our existing HealthWise Woman curriculum, which is a practice-based intervention curriculum that was developed several years ago, but it has been identified as a proven program by the Centers for Disease Control. So we're really pleased with that curriculum and with that part of our program. Some of the key results we had were really built around individual and community change. We were able to make some improvements in access to care by bringing in a wide range of partners and making sure we were able to help women maneuver through the healthcare system and be able to link them with, sometimes it was a medical home where they may not have had a provider in the past, other times it was making sure they made it to clinic appointments and other things, but we were able to really build up that access to care for women that had not been able to establish that on their own. Standards and protocols for quality clinical care. By working with providers to ensure they understood the needs of African-American women specifically and knew what was happening in their lives and could build their protocol or their treatment plan around those specific issues really helped to improve some of the work that was happening at the clinic level. Opportunities and choice. We educated women on what was available for them as far as their treatment plan was concerned. So it really gave them a better chance to make some decisions and really better understand what their treatment plans were around diabetes. So they became empowered consumers. And all of this is built around our model of achieving health equity as an organization. Some of the results we had, we had a total of 127 women participate across our five community sites. We trained 27 women as HealthWise Woman educators in our curriculum as well as in our self-help sister circle strategy. We established a 17-member community advisory committee that is still working on implementing the program across three of the project sites. And then we were not able to really determine what the clinical outcomes were for this initiative. We had quite a bit of difficulty engaging women throughout the entire process, and therefore our collection of clinical data was spotty at best. And so we focused on areas where we could make a difference. And we made modifications. We turned this program inside out to make as many modifications as we possibly could in order to get women back and keep them in the program. But as was mentioned before, there were just some barriers with physical activity, with coming back for screenings and developing different protocols for how to collect information that we just were not able to have that consistency across our program, and therefore our clinical outcome data we felt was not where we wanted it to be in order to be able to report that. So we focused on behavioral outcomes as where we could make the most difference and where we could really show some outcomes. So we had increases in the annual health screenings that women went to over the 14-month period of implementation. In the consumption of fruits and vegetables, we made some increases in the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, and that should actually read the desire to make a change around consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. We had some increases. Efforts to lose weight, engagement in recommended physical activities, organizations participating in our formal diabetes education process. Again, I mentioned we had 27 total organizations that participated with us. And then as far as developing self-help skills. So all of this is measured in percentages. So we had some, what we felt were pretty good increases as far as making changes in behavioral health outcomes were concerned. some of the key learnings that we had, and these focus on organizational and systems change. But of course, and we all know this, it's important to understand and practice cultural and community competency. You really have to know the communities in which you're working, and you really have to understand the organizations that operate within these communities, and be aware and respectful of the decision-making processes that are within these community organizations. That was a major barrier that we had. We've worked with organizations throughout the history of the Black Women's Health Imperative. That's how we do our work. D.C. is very different, however. There are a lot of challenges that are in the D.C. area that we needed to overcome in addition to working with the organizations that were funded by the D.C. government or were limited in their funding structure. So, again, we really tried to find ways to make this project work by working individually with the organizations, zeroing in on what their specific needs were internally, helping them build capacity, as well as trying to be very respectful of their conflicts with scheduling, with competing priorities, with limited resources, and a host of other things. But we really wanted to make sure that we did everything we could to make that happen. It's also important to provide opportunities for women to become informed health advocates. And so we spent a lot of time with our Health Wise Woman program, making sure we were able to build those self-efficacy skills and health literacy skills among Black women so they could be informed healthcare consumers. They could help make decisions about their own healthcare. One of the things we found when we first started this intervention portion was that even though women were living with diabetes and had been diagnosed for some time, they really didn't understand what it meant to have diabetes, how it manifested itself within their bodies, what the different treatment protocols were. So we found we had to go back and do basic diabetes one-on-one education and do diabetes 101 as well and make sure that women understood what it meant to be hyperglycemic, hypoglycemic, and so many other terms that were thrown at them when they got their diagnosis, but the providers had not taken the time to really talk with them and share with them what that meant. So that was part of our effort to help them become informed health advocates. We felt it was important to link interventions with enhancements in self-concept. Again, by building self-efficacy and improving health awareness, they were able to improve their self-image and their self-concept. They felt better about making decisions about their health care. We promoted linkages between the individual and larger social forces impacting their lives. We talked with women about what was available in their communities and what they could do in some cases to bring in a farmer's market or some better access to having fruits and vegetables, improve sidewalks, streetlights. So we also built in that community empowerment piece as well, so women could really begin to make a difference and organize around how to improve health outcomes in their particular area of the city. And we also found that it was important to be respectful of the lived lives of the women that we were working with. A lot of times we found that women were dealing with things at home that impacted their ability to participate fully in our health education sessions. And things like wanting to make a lifestyle change, wanting to change how the family eats, but the family revolting, basically, and almost sabotaging the women in their efforts to make changes. And so we had to take that into consideration as well and build that into our social support model that was delivered through our self-help initiative, but also look at how women could develop different coping skills and different decision-making strategies so that they could continue their efforts even though their families were opposed to that. And so in moving forward, we looked at developing a sustainability plan that could maintain some elements of the initiative. And so we looked at the outreach, training, and support components of the project and identified those areas where we could work with our partner organizations to carry on some of these. And we were able to, again, instill the project goals and values within three of our partner organizations, and they're continuing the initiative to this day. Not at full scale, but they're continuing with elements of the program. They use the outreach strategy that we developed. They are definitely continuing to use the training curriculum that we used. And then several of them are working with a modified self-help strategy where they bring women together on a quarterly basis now, I believe, to just talk as a group and provide social support to one another so that they can continue their journey toward wellness and learn from one another about tips and techniques that these women are incorporating into their own lives to help make that happen. We are using a diffusion strategy to share key findings in efforts such as this, in workshops and in conferences across the country. We're sharing lessons learned. We have the case study that was developed that we're disseminating through our website. And we are also working with other organizations upon request to provide recommendations for replication of this initiative in some form so that elements of it can be carried on in the cities where we're currently delivering another intervention that I'll talk about in just a moment. We're working with the advisory committee also to continue to train health leaders to continue the program, and we're integrating elements of this into our National Diabetes Prevention Program, which is funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're operating in six cities. It's a program to decrease risk of prediabetes developing into diabetes. So we have several strategies and lessons learned from this initiative that we've been able to integrate into that as far as outreach and recruitment, retention, and elements that support lifestyle change. And so in summary, we feel that this project really provided an opportunity to enhance not only our knowledge as an organization, but also the knowledge of our community partners as it relates to what constitutes an effective intervention. We learned what worked, what did not work, and things that we were able to, again, incorporate into other efforts, but also how we could better help the organizations that we partner with in the future. Our environmental scan and informant interview process, we felt really allowed us to hear directly from women who were being impacted by diabetes and also to help us develop strategies that were responsive to their needs. The community outreach process was enhanced by this work. The development of our intervention was enhanced by this work, and we were really able to find out what was keeping women from coming for screenings and other things. So we really feel that we have some good information there, and we're going to be using that moving forward as we look at developing other outreach efforts that have that clinical component. And we realized that women need to overcome challenges to self-care, such as denial, competing priorities, and lack of support, as I mentioned before, coming from the home. And so this is my contact information. We are going to be having some new information up on our website fairly soon related to not only this work but our current work. And we are engaging in some new efforts that are going to be focusing on achieving overall wellness for African American women physically, financially, and emotionally, and it's called Grab Your Girls and Go. And we're going to be taking, again, some of these elements and incorporating that into our new initiatives. So we really feel that this program was a great foundation for us as far as being able to build out and learn from that and incorporate that in our efforts moving forward. Thank you.